Let's fly. 8:17 to K-Fire.
Ladies and gentlemen, we do thank you very much for your attention, and now we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy the takeoff.
Yes, it's True Travel Tales with iHeart travel expert Jay Ratliff on the line. And I guess, Jay, we're talking about a new way to fly today, huh?
You know, it's a way that I love. I'd love to have one of these, but yeah, we had earlier in the week an American Airlines flight on final approach into LAX, and as they're coming in 10 miles out, the American Airlines captain notices out his portside window what appeared to be a man flying in a jetpack at 3,000 feet. He radios air traffic control, and I mean, you can hear the hesitation on the other end when you're listening to the tapes. I'm like, okay. And we had two other pilots that also radioed in afterwards saying, yep, that's exactly what we had with the last pilot, kind of with the line of the day saying only in L.A., but, you know, we're worried about birds. We're worried about drones. The last thing you want to see at a busy international airport, one of our nation's gateway cities, is a jetpack at 3,000 feet, you know, around an international airport. Not a good idea.
Not a good idea at all. And you pointed me towards a website called jetpackaviation.com, where apparently they sell these things. And my vision of a jetpack was in a Super Bowl years ago. They had a guy with a jetpack take off, and you know, it was like a backpack, and he took off. Well, this looks like a snowmobile.
Well, that's one of them. But if you look at the actual jetpacks themselves under their products, they have a jetpack type of thing.
Okay.
And you're right. Back in the late 60s, they had that, and I thought, hey, let's get this. But they were only good for 100 yards. You could fly for like 20 seconds, and then, you know, you were over. These new jetpacks, you can go for 8, 10 minutes. Some of them have an altitude of 15,000 feet, so not that you'd ever want to go that high in one. But, you know, the ideas in the practical application is, look, if we ever had a situation where we needed a rescue from a high building where you had helicopters and things that weren't available, and you needed somebody to pop up there and you know, rescue someone or something along those lines, that those possibilities are there. And as this type of technology becomes more available, you know, I'm hoping that they're, you know, a little bit more affordable than $200,000 to $300,000 a pop. But hey, for somebody that you want to buy a present for somebody who has everything, that would do it. And something you can consider is they have these demos where you can actually go to Jetpack Aviation and you can be there, I think, for 3 days, where they tether you and you fly a jetpack for 3 days.
Wow.
I think it's $5,000. I don't think, if I can get it as a business expense, sign me up. But yeah, it's something to see, and more people are getting accustomed to the idea of flying via jetpack.
Wow.
Jay, some big airlines getting rid of their fees to change some flight plans. Is this something that will stick around, or maybe not so much?
Well, keep in mind that, you know, if you have somebody trying to sell a house and nobody's buying, you kind of get desperate, you keep dropping the price. Airlines right now are on the desperate side of things when it comes to corporate travelers. They have 80 to 85% of the corporate group that is yet to return to travel. And a lot of the airlines are getting very, very concerned because, as we've discussed over the last several months, guys, a lot of these businesses that before were slow to embrace technology are now using these Zoom conferences and the online video meetings and things of this nature, and are finding out that, hey, they're very easy, they're very affordable, and they're very effective, which means a lot of these businesses may not come back in force sending their sales team around the country as they did before. Airlines knowing that, United Airlines came out saying, look, we're going to waive the $200 change fee at this point in time as we move forward. We're getting rid of it. They're getting rid of it temporarily, but it's kind of being pushed off to the side. It was met with such a good reaction that American and Delta quickly came on board saying they were going to do the same thing. And, of course, I'm in the back of the class. I'm raising my hand for a question. It's like, guys, we're not even using that $200 change fee right now, right? Because most of the time you're just accommodating people in this coronavirus aftermath. So it's not like they're going to be doing anything different than what they have been doing. But the thought is, let's make it public. Let's try to get some good PR. Let's see if we can get some of these business travelers coming, because right now travel is still down 70%. The bulk of the people flying right now, as we come out of the summer travel season, which kind of ends this upcoming weekend, We're looking at, you know, most of that being leisure traffic. Very, very little corporate activity, and that represents 60 to 70% typically of an airline's revenue stream. And I'm telling you, they're hurting big time, and now that we're in one of the slowest travel months of the year, it's only going to get worse.
And, Jay, of course, you're good at that stock market thing, and you had a list of airlines that might come back quicker than some others as far as their stocks especially.
That's a great question as we segue from the previous topic into this one. If it is, in fact, the leisure market that's recovering faster than the business side of things, it makes sense that the airlines that cater to primarily the vacation travelers are going to be the ones that probably could see the recovery faster than others. That means JetBlue, Southwest, Allegiant, Frontier, Spirit, the low-cost carriers, and thank God for them, that are out there are the ones that may rebound faster. In fact, I think probably from a revenue standpoint, Southwest and Spirit Airlines are the two that have the most money to kind of sit on the sidelines where, look, they can go a year or longer if things are this pathetic and still be okay. Other airlines, that's not going to be the case. But seriously, if you're going to be looking at airline stocks, and I'm not suggesting that you buy any of these, but I certainly would keep an eye on them. Because as we move over the next several months, I think we may see another dip or two with the airlines. They'll recover, but I think that it's, you know, those, even Allegiant to throw in there as well as far as low-cost carriers, I think those are going to be the ones that are going to lead the recovery.
All right, True Travel Tales, Jay Ratliff. You've always, if anyone's got a question regarding air travel or the stock market, they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, jratliff.com, and the big questions I'm getting now are issues with airline stocks as far as if I think they're a good buy or not. And also hearing from several in our audience that are still having issues resolving airline complaints. So if you have a present or past issue that's yet to be resolved, reach out to me at jratliff.com, and as quickly as my schedule allows, I'll certainly go to bat for you.
All right, excellent. Hey, Jay, take care. We'll talk to you next week.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
You got